You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at Surrey Farms. .com or virginiatraditions.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Welcome to this week's installment of the Mike and Judy Show. I'm Judy McGuire here with my host, Mike Edison, my co-host. And we're doing an old-timey New York show, which is going to be four people bitching about how great New York used to be and how much it sucks right now. We have Kevin Walsh from Forgotten New York and Kevin Hine from Screw Magazine. He used to work, he was the creative director at Screw Magazine and the creative director of Ephemera Press. And here's Mike.
I like to call today's show, Dude, Where's My New York? Because it's not the place I moved to, I'll tell you that. The landscape has changed. Everything has changed. It's the mauling, and I mean that with two L's and an A and a U, the mauling of Manhattan, I call it.
Why did we even leave Jersey?
Jersey's looking better and better. You know, the truth is, you know, people ask, when do you become a New Yorker? And I think some of us were born into it and others had it thrust upon us. You know, everybody here is from somewhere else, but at this point, both of us, we've lived here longer than we haven't.
Yes.
You know, we're wearing our stripes. I want to say Kevin Hine here was the former creative director of Screw Magazine, with whom I worked for many years. I got to say, Screw is something that's really missing from the New York landscape. I miss it terribly. Just the outrage, and I'm missing Al Goldstein. The covers, and I'm missing Al Goldstein on TV, on Channel J for old-timers.
Yeah, that old Channel J show with Al Goldstein, that was a lot of fun.
Now, have you seen Al lately?
I tried to see Al recently. He was at the VF... The Veterans Hospital on 23rd Street, Manhattan. Up until recently, I went last weekend to see if I could find him there, but he had been discharged.
Does he have a home?
I think he's living in Queens somewhere.
I believe he lives in Far Rockaway. I saw him around the holidays, and unfortunately, Al's a shadow of himself. But people always ask, "We'll have to get Al on the show." I think we can do that. At least a phone in. He's not in great shape, but he is very.
I went to the hospital twice to see him. The first time I saw him, he was like completely flat out on a bed. You know, all the.
Yeah, killed me. See Al Goldstein in a paper gown, yeah. With like half his teeth, wearing these like old man glasses.
In this white room, yeah.
Yeah, it was a former...
Was he still yelling at people?
He was completely out of it. He was asleep,
that's really
gone.
Sad.
Well, he was flirting with the nurse at least when I was there. That was a good sign.
Oh, he
sign.
Was? That's yeah. Cool. Well,
so
that's a sign of life.
So, Kevin Walsh, you must have some fond memories of pornographic New York City.
Well, you know, I haven't looked into that part of New York City at all, but I've been doing Forgotten New York since 1999, so there's a lot of things to remember.
What do you miss most about old New York? Or 80s New York?
80s New York? You know, the sense of adventure. You can go on the train and anything could happen to you, you know? I don't miss the crime, but I do miss the individuality of Times Square and the Bowery and all that. There was individuality there.
Which do you feel like aged worse, the new Times Square, the rejuvenated Times Square, or the new super expensive Bowery where hotel rooms are like a grand a night?
They're both very bland now. I'd say Times Square is the worst.
Yeah.
I don't miss the crime in Times Square, but I do miss the... I do miss the rah-rah and the...
The peep shows, come on.
That kind of thing. And,
sure.
It used to be an adventure to go to Times Square, and now it's just a tourist... It's all for tourists now.
And lots of tourists. There's like hundreds of thousands of people there, like on any given night in New York, in Times Square. It's just... All New Yorkers avoid it at all costs.
I don't know any real New Yorkers who actually spend time at Times Square unless, you know, business brings them there.
Right.
I mean, I used to love going to Times Square, and of course the cliche would be to go see pornography and dirty movies, but let's not forget, I mean, you go see great kung fu movies, a triple feature,
right.
Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2.
That's right.
You know, and all these great things, and for $3 you could sit there and watch horror movies or martial arts movies, any sort of exploitation film.
That's another thing that's missing, the affordability of New York City.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's the Mall of Manhattan. I mean, it used to be, and we should talk about the Mars Bar, which I have a big picture of it in the New York Times today. Of course, typical liberal New York Times bait and switch. They got me in there with a picture of the punk rock bar, and the story is about fucking real estate, which just shows you where everybody's priorities are really in this town. And that's what it comes down to with Giuliani and Bloomberg. I mean, it's all about tourist dollars. It's all about real estate. It's not about the people who really live here.
I mean, I have a pretty wide variety of friends, and I really don't know anyone who can afford a $1 million apartment. And that's like the median price in Manhattan.
Yeah, I don't know anybody either.
Yeah.
Well, you guys need to be hanging out with a better class of people.
That's true. You do know people who can afford that.
Apparently.
Okay, us losers over here.
What I miss is I used to be able to sit down at a bar on Avenue A or B or First Avenue or wherever, in the, you know, the East Village especially.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really knew who you were going to be sitting next to. It could be, you know, some like down on as luck, you know, aspiring film actor.
Or Quentin Crisp.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you could be sitting next to, you know, a best-selling author or some poet who's never going to make it, or a junkie or the next, you know, cover of the Rolling Stone. You never knew. And now all I meet are like hedge fund douchebags, like
yeah.
running
FPR
around,
girls.
You know.
Mike, did you know about the Holiday Inn on St. Mark's Place?
On St. Mark's Place.
The Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Lounge.
Holiday.
Not the Holiday Inn. The Holiday Lounge. I'm sorry.
The Holiday, yeah. It was the Holiday.
Great place. Is it still open?
Yeah. The owner died. And
yeah,
I
know.
I think his son took over. But that was a great source of underage drinking when I was a teenager.
That was a fun place.
That's one thing I miss is underage drinking. when I was underage, that's how I drank.
But now you don't want teenagers at the same bar as you.
Well, you know, the weird thing is they changed the drinking law to 21, and you think it would have like chased a lot of college students out of the bars. But I guess what's happening is that people are just like delaying their adulthood. I mean, what I'm getting is the PFAs in my neighborhood. I live in the tony little hamlet of Kipps Bay.
What's a PFA?
Post frat asshole.
Oh.
Thank you for asking. No, all these post-frat assholes walking around like they never left college. And I guess what's happening is that people are moving to New York en masse, you know, and they're going to school here. When they leave, they just hang around with all their buddies and they never go outside their circle. And they still think it's okay, you know, to go to, you know, out at night wearing flip-flops and cargo shorts.
I know how you feel about flip-flops. Now, what about the architecture of New York City? Both of you guys are pretty much experts on that. What are some great buildings that you feel like we've lost?
Great buildings we've lost. Go ahead, Kev.
Well, I go to Penn Station almost every day because I commute out to Long Island from Manhattan, and I really miss the old Penn Station. I've never seen it. I've seen photos of it.
Right.
They're nice enough to put huge photos of the old Penn Station and the new Penn Station.
Yeah, I don't think of it in terms of great buildings that we've lost. I look in terms of the little mundane structures in Flushing and Queens and Little Neck that I've... been going past since I moved there in 1993. These beautiful one-family homes, and they're just tearing them down. They're putting up these Fetter specials with the rusty fire escapes, the concrete lawns, and the you know, someplace to put your monster mobile in the driveway. And we're just losing character as far as architecture goes.
Yeah, there used to be a warehouse down the street from me that wasn't a particularly beautiful building, but it had a recipe for chicken stock. Spray painted on the wall that I was really glad I got to take down before they put up some condos. And how many condos can they sell? I guess we're going to find out soon, but They're going up. I live in Williamsburg, and they're going up every 2 feet.
Well, the Mike Bloomberg initiative is 9 million people by 2030, and I think that's what he wants.
Oh, 9 million, and 4.5 of them will be on the L train in the morning.
Yeah, the L train, which wasn't running today. What's up with the MTA?
It's moody. The L train is moody.
The L train is moody. I don't need to be living my life at the whims of a temperamental subway system.
It's horrible. Okay, you just mentioned Bloomberg. Worst mayor, Giuliani or Bloomberg?
I'll jump in. I think the worst of the two was Mike Bloomberg, definitely. I, at the risk of being thrown out of the room, you know, you can toss me out bodily if you want. I voted for Giuliani 3 times. I'm 0-for-3 with Bloomberg, but okay. I voted for Giuliani 3 times.
Were we talking about wrestling earlier?
Yeah, I was about to come down on Judy for rooting for The Rock, for rooting for baby faces.
Looks pretty good now, doesn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah, Giuliani, that dirtbag. You know, really, he was not a man of the people. He was the enemy of the people. I'm declaring him an enemy of the people now, here on the radio. Motherfucker better pray he never meets me in a bar. He was a prosecutor as mayor, you know? It was like the wrong guy.
Still suckling off the teat of 9/11.
Man, he was the mayor of nothing.
Well, since he got out of office, that's a different story.
Yeah, but so you've changed your opinion on him?
Yes, I have. I would not vote for him for president.
Okay.
Well, he's no way qualified at all based on experience or temperament. But, I mean, to me, Giuliani, I mean, he brought, I think it was 36 First Amendment suits against against individuals. The city of New York bringing First Amendment cases, lost them all. All of them at a price of millions of dollars to the city. Kevin, you know, the most famous being the Brooklyn Museum case, of course.
Kevin Heim, what are your thoughts on who is the worst?
Oh, I would say Giuliani.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a tough toss up there, but I would say Giuliani.
Well, why is
what Mike just mentioned about the First Amendment rights. I mean, to begin with.
I mean, he tried to stop people from selling books on the street. The hot dog vendor thing was not a First Amendment issue, but, you know, completely tone deaf to the people of New York City when he tried to stop people from selling hot dogs on Wall Street because he wanted to class up the joint.
Like, you know, brokers don't need a little wiener.
Yeah, well said. At a place that is just like, you know, a big festering bedpan full of criminals. You know, and he wants to clean up the joint. With the hot dogs. Well, what's the problem with Bloomberg? Why so much?
He's presided over the blandification of New York City.
Don't you think Giuliani had a good helped him with a good start on that?
All I know is in 1989, when he first ran, New York City had 2,200 murders a year. Something had to be done about that, and I voted for Giuliani because of that. Bloomberg, you know, he's for the rich, and he's presided over the blandification of New York. He's built you know, what happened at Williamsburg, the waterfront. He's built all kinds of huge buildings, and you know, it's just been you know, go ahead, Judy.
More corrupt Department of Buildings or the MTA? Which do you think is the more fucked up group?
Well, the MTA does not serve the people who ride the subways. I'd say MTA is worse.
Yeah, they're a model of incompetence. That's for
absolute
sure.
They're tone deaf. Yesterday, you had a situation where there was a big event going on in Governor's Island, and there was no subway service southbound to Governor's Island to South Ferry yesterday to get the boat to Governor's Island. Nothing.
Yeah, they're absolutely not in sync with the rest of New York. Now, let me play the devil's advocate here. Let me be the heel for a second and say that change is inevitable. We were talking about the Mars Bar before, a place that I hold near and dear, but a place
there's
that you can't
change,
stand.
There's change, and then there's murder.
And there's murder. There's vivisection and rape. Is that what you're saying?
The spirit of New York, the reason I wanted to move here. I mean, I still wonder if I could live anywhere else, but a lot of that has been gutted, and if I didn't have a rent-stabilized apartment, I would be, you know, not in New Jersey, but somewhere else.
God forbid.
Yeah, I could never go back to New
Jersey.
Well,
to me, the Mars Bar is, you know, this last vestige of, it's like the last great punk rock dive. And I like to go there and have a bowl of bourbon occasionally, you know, and play the germs on the jukebox. Now, yes, there's a good chance that I'm going to get disease.
Bad bugs.
Last time I was there, a fight broke out within the first 15 seconds, so I felt like I got my money's worth and was able to leave after a drink.
Oh, that was a fun place.
but you don't like it, and I just feel like that's like the last sliver of that real edge of the Bowery.
You know what? I really like old divey bars, but, you know, I like to be able to urinate without getting herpes. You know, maybe it's a symptom of my uptightness, maybe it's a symptom of more infestations, like bed bugs freak me out now, and... Yeah. If the Mars Bar isn't you know, bursting with bed bugs. I don't know what place could possibly be. Not that I'm putting them down.
Can we blame Bloomberg for the bed bugs?
Yes.
It happened under his watch.
Yes. I'm willing to blame him for the bed bugs.
Kevin Hine, what's your favorite bar in New York City?
Well, you know, I still like McSally's. I do like McSally's.
I've never been there.
You've never been there?
Oh, it's a great place.
Well, they've only been allowing women in since, what, 1977?
1970. 1970.
A big mistake. An interesting experiment. I like McSorley's too, but you sort of have to go during the day to miss
you
the
You have
BFAs.
To go during the day when the lighting is just right. I mean, it looks like an Ashcan school painting during the afternoon. When the light's coming through that front window, it's just beautiful. At night, of course, it's filled with frat guys, you know.
Yeah. And the St. Patrick's Day has always scared me off. The Portisans out front.
Oh, you don't want to go near there on St. Patrick's.
I'm Irish. I don't go to bars on St. Patrick's
You're
Day.
Better off just staying indoors on St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, stay indoors and lock the door.
You know, it's great at McSorley's. You can get like a plate of like cheese and onions on a paper plate.
Hey.
It's the best.
The same thing you could get in 1880. You can walk in there in 1880 and get a cheese.
I heard the health department forced them to clear the dust off the wishbones.
Did they really?
From World War One.
That's too bad.
Speaking of the MTA. And the shuttle bus we had to take today.
So how many trains did you take? You took two trains?
Today was relatively simple. It was just the one train and the one bus. Because last time they had the system, it was two trains and two buses and a complete clusterfuck, of course. I got to say, the air conditioning on the 6 train rocks. That is some badass air conditioning.
So that's something nice you said about the MTA.
I will say that.
Air conditioning on subway trains is a nice thing.
Which do you think is the best air conditioning in New York? I will posit the 6 train, or name your favorite train. But do you think supermarket air conditioning or movie theater air conditioning?
Movie theaters
air conditioning.
More uniform.
I go back to the days when nobody had air conditioning in the early 60s and mid 60s when I was a child. And what you did was, in the summertime, you walked out and you walked past the bar, because when they open the door, this big blast of cold air would hit you. Then you go home to your sweltering apartment, put the fan on, and it didn't do much good.
Hey, not for nothing. When I dropped out of college for the first time and had like no money and no air conditioner in the summers in New York, we drop acid and go to a supermarket for 6 hours to stay cool.
And now you can just get on the subway.
Right. Or actually buy an air conditioning now.
Well, that's a beauty of being
in my swanky Manhattan pad. We're going to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break with La Tigra.
All right.
That song, that Giuliani, he's such a jerk. So, Kevin, what do you have going on as far as tours go? You take people on tours of New York that
we've really amped up the tours this year. First of all, because I'm not working right now, and that's a hint. If anybody wants to put me to work, I can work as a proofreader, copywriter, copy editor. But until that happens, we're doing 1 to 2 tours per month. We just did Prospect Park South in Brooklyn. We've done Riverdale, Spite and Dabble in the Bronx. We've done Skillman Avenue, Sunnyside in Queens. And this July 31st, we're going to do Best Path, the heartland of Queens. And we're going to see all kinds of things on that tour. We're going to see beautiful churches, Elks Halls, kind of thing. Nobody goes to Maspeth. We go to Maspeth. Nobody else does. And then we're going to do a tour in Hunter's Point, which is a very interesting part of southern Queens, near the Long Island Railroad, the western edge of the Long Island, southwestern edge of Queens. That will be on Saturday, August 13th.
Great.
The Elks Lodges have got to be amazing, just based on my experience at the one Elks Lodge.
ECW.
ECW. That's how we always bring it back to wrestling. You can't. It just cannot be stopped. At some point, you're just going to have to get on board or get run over.
It's part of the fabric.
And stop rooting for the good guys.
I love The Rock. He's not wrestling anymore. It doesn't count.
He'll be back. He's going to be the main event in next year's WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
That is, unless CM Punk, the most controversial man in professional wrestling today, wins the belt tonight and takes it with him. Oh my God.
I don't think that's happening, Mike.
You don't think that's happening? Yeah. Well, ye of little faith. By the way, quick plug for our friends at BaconDestroy.net. CM Punk is a judge in this year's SummerSlam 2011.
Who else is judging, Mike?
I am, and I want you to know I cannot be bought. Okay, you cannot buy me. I am judging this fairly.
Oh,
you cannot buy me, especially not by sending small bills to Mike Edison, care of Heritage Radio, Brooklyn, USA.
Nice.
Before we came here, Kevin and I, Kevin Hine of Screw Magazine, were bemoaning the lack of walk and don't walk signs, or the abolition of them. And now we've got that little green fucking man who I can't fucking
know. Yeah, but he's all over the world now. He's worldwide. They use them in every country.
Different versions of the walking man.
Well, they have walking women in a couple countries.
Why? Because some Dutch tourist can't figure out.
I know.
Like, don't walk in giant red letters means, hey, jerk off, don't cross the street, you're going to get hit.
I love the old walk, don't walk sign. You knew you were walking in Manhattan street when you saw walk, don't walk.
That was one of our things.
Sans apostrophe.
Right.
Well, what else were we missing from Manhattan that's really just, the place just looks different and feels different, right?
It's I've used the word blandification before, but you're familiar with Lower Sixth Avenue between House and Street and 34th. It's used to be very individualistic, beautiful old buildings, lots of florists, lots of grocery stores, and all kinds of little shops and things. Now it's all high-rise apartments.
And Pottery Barn in the Gap.
Well, they don't even have those. It's all banks.
It's either banks
and Starbucks.
Banks, Starbucks, or nail salons. That's all that's in my neighborhood now. They tear down like functional.
What I've been told, a friend of mine yesterday told me that when you see these branches of banks, they're not even actual businesses. They're actually just billboards. And that's the whole point of having a Citibank in every corner. It's just advertising for the bigger brand. Those branches, the business model, they don't even make money. Okay? The rent on that building, right? Isn't the Second Avenue Deli now a Citibank? Which is, to me, that's a real crime.
Yeah.
There you go. The Second Avenue Deli leaving Second Avenue.
It still has the names on the sidewalk in front.
Right. Well, thank God for that. I think they'd all be going to hell at least a little bit quicker than the path they're currently on.
I made the ultimate goyim mistake in the Second Avenue Deli one day. I ordered a cheeseburger.
Oh, my God. And you confess that? You heard it here first, kids. I'll tell you, there's one thing I can't stand is people going into Katz's, give me a corned beef with mayo.
Oh, okay, even I know that's a mistake.
That's like being punched in the stomach.
I love mayonnaise, but it has its place.
Kevin,
in a delicious Eisenberg's tuna.
Kevin, speaking of making mistakes like this, I was a naive youth a few years ago when I went to McSorley's and I ordered something other than the light and the dark, and the guy looked at me funny, and all of a sudden it hit me. I have to order the light or the dark.
What did you order? A cocktail?
Another brand of beer.
No, they don't do that.
They don't do that there.
What are the other great bars in Manhattan that we still
Jimmy's
still
embrace?
Old Town.
The Old Town's great. Best urinals in New York City, probably, at the Old Town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen them, Judy? Have you
no,
ever been?
I have.
They're huge.
I'll have to take you in there someday into the men's room at McKinney.
I'm going to do that.
It's majestic.
But they're absolutely wonderful. They're gigantic. They look like something from a Frankenstein movie. They're really wonderful.
What about Jimmy's
Corner?
Times Square, yeah.
Jimmy's Corner on 44th Street, right?
Really? I've been into Smith's on 8th Avenue. I've been into Rudy's on 9th.
Was a really fun bar. They had a great jukebox in
Rudy's. At Rudy's, Ernie, this guy that used to run that place, and the Holland Bar, right over by Port Authority, which got moved around a couple times. It was in one of the SRO hotels for a while, and when that hotel had earned the most health violations, they put up a big sign in the window that said, "We're number one." And the same guy that ran this place, the Holland Bar, which was a great place if you liked hanging out with crack whores and pimps, which for a while was my lifestyle. Right. It was a great place to go. And Ernie, the guy who ran it, his rule was you could only watch on the television in the bar the President of the United States or sports, because everything else was bad for business. And he came in one day and caught them watching Days of Our Lives during the day and ripped the fucker out of the wall and threw it on the street, and that was the end of TV at the Holland Bar.
Mike, we're also missing an aspect of the great diners of Manhattan that have all disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
The Cheyenne Diner.
Oh, sorry.
The Munson's, the River Diner on 11th Avenue. The Empire went upscale.
Yeah. The Moonshine is like in...
The Moonshine went there. They move them out of town. Other parts of the country want them. Apparently, Manhattanites don't eat that kind of way anymore. They don't have the greasy hamburgers and the French fries.
They want sushi.
They want sushi. I can't... Don't get me started on sushi.
I like my fish cooked, goddammit.
Well, that's true. I like it cooked.
I think what's happening there is also that just the young people aren't eating at coffee shops. When I went to college, for that 10 minutes I was matriculating, I mean, that's where we ate Cozy Superburger on Broadway.
That's still there, isn't it?
Sure. But that's where we would go to eat. We didn't eat at trendy restaurants.
I'm glad Eisenberg's is still around.
That's terrific. Eisenberg's.
The greatest.
5th and 22nd Street.
I had a lime Ricky there just the other day.
Delicious.
A complete attitude changer. You go in there and have an egg cream or a lime Ricky, and really, that's a great place. Shout out to my friend Josh, the proprietor of Eisenberg's.
Oh, the waitresses always call you honey and dear, and I love that.
And, you know, that's one thing that's missing from New York, too, is rude waitresses. I miss this. There was a place in Austin, some deli, and it said, all the food without the attitude. I was like, fuck you, I want the attitude. You know? In fact, I pay extra for it.
Isn't there a place in Boston that's famous for its rude waitresses? The Durgan something?
Yeah, this is New York, not Boston, Kevin.
All right.
The meanest waiters I've ever had were at Peter Luger.
I hear they're very mean there.
You just have to let them
do what they do and don't question what they do.
Yeah, don't ask any questions, like for more wine.
I remember being at the Carnegie Deli years ago after this guy, inhaling this pastrami sandwich that was about as tall as the urinals, the old town, said, I think I'll have a piece of cheesecake, and the waitress just gave him the once over. Like, yeah, I don't think so, honey.
Nice.
The new baseball stadiums in New York City. I'm going to say it again. I've said it publicly before, and I'm going to keep to it. I will never step foot in the new Yankee Stadium. Is not happening.
Why?
Okay, because I don't like the way they... I take it personally. I don't like the way they treated me as a fan. I had a very difficult divorce with the New York Yankees. I didn't like the way they treated Joe Torre. I didn't like the way they sort of disappeared Eddie Layton, the organ player, and then sold the organ. I mean, to me, that's part of the thing. You know, I don't... If I wanted to hear Metallica, I'd go to a freaking Metallica concert. You know, and it's supposed to be a baseball park, not a baseball mall. You know, they take our tax dollars, and what do I get? At some point, I realize this is a one-way relationship. Don't like the way they dealt with the steroid scandals, and I never want to be in a position where I have to root for a douchebag like A-Rod.
Citi Field is better aesthetically than the old Shea, but the Mets aren't playing nearly as well as they did at the old Shea because the fences are not... they're not... you can't reach them.
They're too high?
They're too far out. Yeah. Of course, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Yankees and every other team has no problem with those fences. Just the Mets have problems.
The Mets have a lot of problems.
Kevin Hine, what are your thoughts on the stadium?
You love Shea Stadium.
I like the old Shea Stadium. Did you like the old Shea Stadium?
I like the results we got there at the old Shea Stadium.
What results? World Series game. The Mets should have won.
At least they're in it.
They should have won in 87 and 88 as well, and probably in 85.
The Mets should have won in 07 and 08 too, but they blew that. But that's a whole other discussion.
Baseball. What do you got? What say you, sports correspondent Judy McGuire?
I like the Rock.
You like the rock? Really? We're rooting for the baby faces. You were a punk rocker. He is a corporate ass licker. It's like rooting for the president of Monsanto, you know? It's like saying the guy who's building, like, the new Nets arena in Brooklyn.
He's
like,
a horrible man. Okay,
but what if he were hunky? That's the Rock.
No, I'm not a complete whore. I will, you know, if Hitler were hot, I would still dislike him.
Oh, well, God bless small wonders. What do you guys think about this new Nets arena and the displacement of that neighborhood?
Oh, that was a disgrace, what they did in downtown Brooklyn. First of all, you're putting a stadium at it's a crossroads, Flatbush and Atlantic. Where are all the traffic? The cars are going to be ridiculous. You know, people don't take subways to games. They drive to games. And where are all the cars going to go?
You know, that has always been the problem. You know, the problem, I guess, is the public transportation. But isn't it nice to have, like, I mean, this guy is doing a bad job the way they've treated things,
he's
the way they've treated
done
the neighborhood.
He's done a bad job with everything
you
he's
know,
done.
This guy is just like
Bruce Ratner.
Ratner. Yeah. He's just like one of the evil railroaders in some like old cowboy movie. You know, kicking out you know the homesteaders. Absolutely, he's a bad guy. But isn't it nice to have? Wouldn't it be nice to have like a real city arena the way Madison Square Garden works? I love Madison Square Garden. I really have had some great memories there, watching wrestling, hockey, the circus,
Bruce Springsteen,
the Rolling Stones, you know. And speaking of Yankee Stadium, you know, I was thinking, well, just ticket prices, as the Jew yells and shouts some more. You know, I remember the first concert I saw at Madison Square Garden was David Bowie, was $9.
And candy bars were a nickel.
Yeah. Then I went to see Bob Dylan the next month, and it was $11. And I was like, who the fuck does this guy think he is? Jesus
and
Christ.
Sodas were a quarter.
Well, Bob Dylan. But Yankee Stadium, what are tickets cost now? What's the top ticket at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, $650, buying a whole plate.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney has just played there in the last couple of days, nights, hasn't he?
Yeah, McCartney played Yankee Stadium, well, either old or new Yankee Stadium for the first time.
Right.
I don't know what the ticket price was, though.
Yeah, boring yeah. Beatle. We are united in our loathing for the Beatles,
oh,
aren't we,
good
Mike?
Good Lord.
At least we don't have to cage match over that. See, I used a sports team.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, what's next? I mean, we're still here in New York, all of us. None of us are moving too soon, it doesn't look like.
I'm not planning on moving, no. I'm in the outer limits, though. I'm in Little Neck.
You're out on the North Shore out there. And well, in your neighborhood, Judy, is seeing some pretty radical transformation in Williamsburg.
You know, I was sort of bitching about it, but then the other day I walked around and I got like a pork bun from Mama Fuko, a beautiful cookie from there, a latte from Gimme Coffee, the new Gimme Coffee, and I was like, okay, this gentrification isn't all bad. It provides me with a delicious lunch.
Well, you know, I find the people who complain about change are the people who have affected at least. You know, I mean, it would be very naive to think that things weren't going to change, but it does.
Especially in New York City.
But it does suck, and it is a crime that so much of our neighborhoods and so much of our soul has been
Well, they changed for the blander, it seems.
All right, Judy,
but we still love it.
We do love
it. And we
it.
Are in what, Mike?
We're back in the New York room. Is that my hint to segue into the outro of the show? All right, stepping over my lines one more time. I'm Mike Edison with Judy McGuire. This is the Mike and Judy Show with our guest Kevin Walsh from
Forgotten-NY.com.
Forgotten-NY.com and Kevin Hine, formerly of Screw Magazine. See you guys next week for Apocalypse 2011.
On the street, I was passing my time away.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Bushwick Block Party. It's a party in the street. Free pizza by Roberta. Death Killer Death Wrestling. Featuring the legendary Mad Dog Tosto. Photo Booth by Ryan Slack. Waterworld. Closed by Chimera Dactyl. Mary Meyer. Warren Bogart. Death Killer Asphalt Resistant Jeans. All types of food for your face. Sweet Soda by P&A. Roberta's Bake Sale. Heritage Foods USA. Orange Chaney Eating Contest by the Orange Chaney Brothers. Live music by Alex Trujan. Florida Paper Twin. Gang Sign. The Netherlands. Team Robespierre. Wild Yak. MC Todd and Bo Breezy. Night Show. Yeah. Sponsored by Martin Greenfield Clothers. Free Fitness Studio. Heritage Radio Network. Free Williamsburg. 6 Point Beer. Momo's Sushi Shack. Beer Box USA. Planet of the Fates. Bushwick Block Party. It's a party in the street.
All day long.
Finger on the Pulse and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Milk Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexi-Q, Kraft, Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Pewter Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the pulse of City Winery, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.fotpnyc.com.